Okay. We are going to be learning based on, and everyone is going to hopefully be receiving their book soon, based on the Tzorva Mirabanan curriculum, we are going to be delving in first to Hilchos Ki Barava'im. So before we get to the introduction that's in the Sefer, I wanted to give a background here that I think will lead us properly into our limud, not only of Hilchos Ki Barava'im, but the entire project that we are in embarking on, this project of learning halacha seriously. So Hilchos Ki Barava'im, where does it start with? We all know 10 commandments, fifth commandment, you will find it there. In Shemos Perek Chaf, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to share the source sheet for anyone who didn't get it earlier today. I am just going to share it in the chat. Hold on one second. Sorry, one second. Okay, it is in the chat for anyone who did not have it before. Fifth commandment, Kavir es avicha ve'asimecha l'ma'an ya'arichon yamecha al ha'adama asher Hashem elokecha notin lecha. We are commanded in the Aseret HaDibros in Parshas Yisro, Kavir es avicha ve'asimecha, you should respect your father and your mother. I have a question though. Are B'nai Noach commanded in Ki Barava'im? That's a weird question. First of all, you're going to ask me, what are B'nai Noach? So if you look in the Gemara in Nedarim, the Gemara in Nedarim says, aren't we all B'nai Noach? It says, V'Yisrael Meinafik. Like, why are we separating out Yisrael? Noach was the only remaining person on earth, Noach and his children. Aren't we all B'nai Noach? So first of all, I just asked you a question, but we have to define the terms. Is Yisrael not included? And it says, Michlal B'nai Noach. They're also B'nai Noach. Kivan she'iktish Avraham, it's karush al shmei. So from the moment that Avraham existed and Avraham was sanctified and his descendants were sanctified, from that point on, we have two streams of people. We have B'nai Avraham, which is going to develop into B'nai Yisrael, or the Jewish people. And we have B'nai Noach, which is everybody else, which is another way, which is the Torah way of saying humankind is called B'nai Noach. So what are these mitzvot that I alluded to? The Sheva mitzvot B'nai Noach are listed in the Rambam, Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Melachim v'Melchamos. We are in the third source. Al Shisha Devarim Nitztavu Adam Harishon. Adam Harishon was commanded in six mitzvot. Al Avodah Zarah, worship of other gods. The Al Birchas Hashem, this is a euphemistic way of saying, it says blessing Hashem, but really what it means is the iser to curse God, that even a B'nai Noach may not curse God. Al Shvichos Damim, murder. The Al Giloy Arayos, immoral relationships. The Al Hagazel, theft. The Al Hadinim, and the justice system, that you must establish a justice system wherever you are. All of these things we are recommanded again from Moshe Rabbeinu when we received the Torah at Har Sinai, but these are six commandments that were already commanded in the time of Adam Harishon. We already knew of them before they were commanded again by Moshe. But everybody knows that these came from before we even received the Torah. Hosif l'Noach, when it came to the time of Noach, again, that was the time of Adam HaRishon. When it came to the time of Noach, we add on one mitzvah, which adds up to the seven total mitzvot of B'nai Noach, Eiver min hachai. This is the iser that you may not eat a limb off a live animal. That one always threw me for a loop. The rest of them make perfect sense. I mean, this also makes perfect sense, but it's just such a weird thing to throw into the mix. Af basar nafsho damo lo tochlu. So this is commanded in Bereishis Perek Tet that you may not eat a limb off a live animal. V'nimtzu sheva mitzvot. So now we have seven mitzvot. V'chein hayah hadavar b'chol ha'olam ad Avraham. This is what existed in the world in terms of mitzvot until the time of Avraham. Ba Avraham v'nitzaveh yetar al ilu b'mila. When we arrive at Avraham, we are also commanded in the mitzvah of Bris Milah. So we see that this is the beginning of the differentiation. Those seven mitzvot are commanded to all of humankind. It is not until we arrive at Avraham that we begin to receive mitzvot that are Jewish specific, like Bris Milah. V'hu hitpalel shachris. And Avraham also begins the concept of tefillah, that we know that Shachris was originated with Avraham. V'Yitzchak hefrish maaser. And we learn that Yitzchak separated out maaser. V'hosif tefillah achar lefnot hayom. And Yitzchak also added in tefillah mincha. V'Yaakov hosif gid hanasha. By Yaakov, we are also commanded with the iser to eat the gid hanasha, the sciatic nerve from an animal. V'hitzpalel arvit. And Yaakov also davened tefillat arvit, the ma'ariv prayer. And when we arrive in Mitzrayim, we already get to learn more mitzvah. We have Rosh Chodesh, we have Karban Pesach, we have the entire holiday of Pesach. Ad Shabbat Moshe Rabbeinu v'nishlema Torah al yado. Until we arrive at Moshe, and it is at that point that we receive the entire Torah with the remainder of all of the mitzvah. Now, the conversation that we are not having tonight is the conversation of, did the Avos really keep the Torah? Because that is an entire conversation in and of itself, but that we are not delving into right now, because that's not pertinent to our topic at the moment. But now back to my original question, now that we've defined all the terms. Are B'nai Noach, the general humankind, commanded in Kibbut Avaim? Now, the instinctive answer is no. Emma, we have seven mitzvot. The math is totally not my thing. However many more that I could have asked the same question. They're not commanded in Shabbos. They're not commanded in Kashrus. Why am I specifically asking when I know the list? This is an inclusive list of seven things. Why am I specifically asking you if Kibbut Avaim is a commandment to B'nai Noach? And the answer is, because there are numerous times that the Mefarshim point out specific cases in which Kibbut Avaim played out with a character that is a B'nai Noach. The first character is Noach himself. And again, we can't call Noach a B'nai Noach, except for the fact that B'nai Noach just means humankind. So that's why it was important to define our terms. So Noach himself, we learn, was an exemplar of Kibbut Avaim. In Tana Devei Eliyahu, which is one of the Midrashim, it states, V'chein ad Noach, ba Noach la'olam, amrulo. When Noach was coming into the world, he was told, Avodas avicha, you should serve your father. Hayazo no, you should provide for him food. Umifarneso, umichalkelo, you should make sure that all of his needs are taken care of. Amrulo lenoach, avodat avi avicha. And Noach was also commanded that you should serve your grandfather, your avi avicha. Remember, at that time, everyone was living for hundreds of years. So he had a lot of generations to respect. Avodat avi avicha, kibel alav, v'haya zanat avi aviv, v'chol avosav shahaya ba'oto sha'ah. Noach took upon himself that he was not only going to be mechabed his father, he was going to be mechabed his grandfather and his great-grandfather, his entire lineage that was still alive up until that point. V'lo'od ela haya yutzei umamche bedvarim kolotan mea ve'esrim shana ad shelo ba hamabul lefichach ba hakatov v'higid alav ledorot shehu haya tzadik. And we are told that Noach did this for his entire life up until the Mabul, and that is why Noach is promised the entire world will be told that you were a tzaddik. That we have the introductory pasuk to Noach, v'Noach ish tzaddik haya b'dorosav, that Noach was a tzaddik in his generation. And that specific mention of him being a tzaddik is because he was mechabed his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather. So we see that from this midrash that Noach is specifically stated as an exemplar of Kibbut Avaim. The next example that we have is actually with Noach's sons. Post-Mabul, Noach is found in not his best hour. In Bereishis Parak Tet, Vayichal Noach ish ha'adama vayitakarem, that after the Mabul, Noach comes out of the teva and he plants a vineyard. Vayish min hayayin, he drinks from the wine, vayish haker vayitgal betoch ohala. He drinks too much, he becomes drunk, and he uncovers himself within his tent. Vayar Cham Avi Kenan et Ervat Aviv. Cham, one of Noach's sons, sees the erva, the nakedness of his father, Vayagid L'shnei Achiv Bachutz, and he runs outside and he tells his other two brothers. Vayikach Shem V'yafet et HaSimla V'yasimu Al Shechem Shneihem V'yilchu Achronit V'yachsu et Ervat Avihem U'pneihem Achronit V'ervat Avihem Lo Ra'u. So the other two brothers, Shem and Yafes, they take the opposite approach, as opposed to Cham, who was the town crier, who saw something and went out and told everyone else who was alive on earth at that time. That makes it sound even more dramatic. the two of them decide to do the responsible thing. The pasuk goes into detail how careful they are to not see the nakedness of their father, that they walk backwards, they hold the cloth on their shoulders, they put it backwards onto their father, that they shouldn't see their father in this compromised state. So Rashi comments here and says, Vayikach shem v'yafet. Inktiv vayikchu. The pasuk does not say vayikchu, ela vayikach, rather, and he took. This teaches us about shame specifically, that shame was extremely strong in the mitzvah of kibud avim, even stronger than yafes. They both did the right thing, but shame was really the leader here. This is why in his merit, in the merit of shame, we receive the mitzvah of tzitzis and the schus that comes from it. The Yafet zachah l'kvur lebanav, and Yafet, later on in history, as it talks about in Sefer Yechezkel, Yafet merits a proper burial for his offspring. So this is the second instance. First was by Noach. We see that Noach is singled out as an exemplar of kibud avim, and Shem and Yafet are also commended for their kibud avim, the way that they respected their father. Lastly, and probably most notably, is Esav. Esav is the B'nai Noach that is most famous for having an incredible level of kibud avim. In Devarim Rabba, it states, Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel states, Lo kibed bria es avotav kimo ani es avosai. He says, there is no one else on earth who respects his parents like I respect my parents. V'matzati shekibed Esav la'aviv yoter mimeni. He says, I am the best at kibud avim, and I have found, you know who's the only person who is better than I? Esav. Ketzad amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, hayiti meshamesh et avi bekilim tzoim. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, what was my downfall in terms of kibud avim? I really thought I was perfect. But when I would serve my parents, I would do everything for them. I would bring them food. I would serve them in any way, but I would do it in dirty clothing. I wouldn't change specifically to serve my parents. V'kshayiti holich lashuk, hayiti mashlich otan hakelim v'lofish kilim na'im v'yotzei bahen. And so when I was around the house helping my parents, I would wear my house clothes. And then when I would go outside, I would take off those clothing and I would put on nice, presentable clothing to go outside. Aval Esav, lo haya osekein. Esav did not do so. Ela, utan kelim shehaya lovesh u'meshamesh bahen et aviv, hein me'ulim. Esav would do the opposite. When he was outside in the fields, he would wear the gross, disgusting clothing. But when he would come in, then he would dress presentably in order to serve his parents. This is one of the many explanations that's given to the fact that Yitzchak so clearly favors Esav, that it says in the pasuk that Yitzchak loved Esav more than he loved Yaakov. And it is because of the high level of kibud avim that Esav had. Esav may have been a complete rasha, but the one area in which he shined was kibud avim. So this brings me back to my question of, we see time and time again throughout the Mefarshim, they are not commending so many characters that are B'nai Noach that are non-Jews. First of all, we don't talk about so many non-Jews. We definitely don't have Mefarshim that discuss so many non-Jews, even if the Pasuk states them. So for the Mefarshim, time and time again, to point out B'nai Noach that were exemplars of kibud avim is what brings me to ask this question of, are B'nai Noach obligated in kibud avim? So I want to explore a few different possible answers to this question that are all pretty much going to point us in the same direction. So the first is the Gemara in Kiddushin. Ba'umine mirav ula ad heichan kibud avim. So they ask from Rav Ula, how far does kibud avim extend? To what extent do you have to go to be mechaved your parents? Amar lahem tzi'u ra'u ma'asa nachri achad be'ashkelon. He says, you should learn from one Nachri, one non-Jewish person in Ashkelon, V'dema ben Netina Shemo. Dema ben Netina is his name. Pa'am echad, bakshu chachamim prakmatia b'shishem ribo schar. The chachamim came to him and they asked him to sell them something that was worth 600,000 units of wealth. V'haya mafteach muneach tachat mirashotav shel aviv v'lo tzeiro. The key to access the thing that they wanted to buy was under the head of his father, and his father was sleeping, and he refused to awaken his father. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda and Rav Shmuel said, Sha'alu at Rabbi Eliezer at Heichan Kibud Avaim. So they asked Rabbi Eliezer, they say, let's ask you, to what extent does Kibud Avaim go? Amar Lahem, Se'ura'u ma'asa nachriyachad la'aviv be'ashkelon. He also says, you should look at that example, that guy in Ashkelon, Dema ben Netina. Bikshumi menu chachamim avanim le'ifod. The chachamim came to him and they requested a gemstone for the ephod, for the Kohen's breastplate. Bishishim ribo, it was worth 600,000 units of wealth. V'rav kahana matne bishmonim ribo. And we know whenever Chazal want to emphasize the greatness of somebody, they are constantly trying to one-up it. That it's not just enough that he sacrificed 600,000 units. The next person says he sacrificed 800,000 units. It's like Pesach, where we went from 10 plagues to 500 plagues in the matter of two sentences. V'hayam avtayach munach tacha bereshot havshal aviv velot se'iro. And even for 800,000 units of wealth, he was not willing to awaken his father because the key to what he needed was under his father's head. So Dema ben Netina was rewarded, and into his flock was born a red heifer, a para aduma. The Chachamim came to him and they said, Yodea ani bachem she'im ani mevakesh michem kol mamon sheba'olam. Dema ben Netina said to them, I know that I can ask you for any price in the world for this para aduma. Atem not nimli, you're going to give me whatever I want. Ella, ein ani mevakesh michem, ella oto mamon shehifsadati bishvil kibur abba. He says, I want you to specifically give me the amount of money that I lost out from because of the extent I was willing to go in order to honor my father. The Gemara continues on and says, "V'amar Rabbi Chanina, v'ma mishe'ino mitzuva ve'usa kach mitzuva ve'usa al achas kama v'kama." So it says, "Look at what the reward for Dema ben Netina was. Look at how greatly he was rewarded. That he was awarded a para aduma." They say, "Kal v'chomer." If he was someone who wasn't commanded in kibud avaim, and he fulfilled it, and this was his schar. Kal v'chomer, someone who is commanded, and is how much will the schar be? The next line in the Gemara actually goes on to be the source that we have for the concept of gadol mitzuva ve'osa misha'ino mitzuva ve'osa, that greater is the reward for someone who is commanded than someone who is not commanded. And that is a fascinating topic in and of itself, in human nature, in halacha, and in the concept of how the two interact with one another. But the point that we are taking out from this source is that they use this as a given at the end, that Dema ben Netina, who is a B'nai Noach, would have not been commanded in Kibud Avaim. So let's look at another source. According to that Gemara in Kedushin, we see that B'nai Noach would not be obligated in Kibud Avaim. However, if we look in Sefer Devarim, possibly we'll have another approach. In Sefer Devarim, it's going through the different Yisurim, the Brachos, the Klalos. Everyone has to answer amen to everything. We're going through all of the different things in Sefer Devarim. And it says in Parak Chav Zayin, Pasuk Ted Zayin, Aror Mekale Aviv Ve'imo Ve'amar Kol Ha'am Amen. Cursed is the one who hits or curses his father, Ve'amar Kol Ha'am Amen. And the entire nation answered amen. The Malbim comments here and says, Ve'kol ha'ose ma'ase meguna hu mechalel shem shamayim v'shem Yisrael. Anyone who would do something as disgusting as cursing his parents is mechalel shem shamayim, is desecrating the name of shamayim v'shem Yisrael and the name of all of Am Yisrael. Ve'av shalonim sashen itzavu aleihem. And even if it is not found that they are commanded in it, b'nei Noach, b'feirash, it says even if, we have to pay close attention to his language. Ve'af shalonim sash and itzavu aleihem b'nei Noach b'feirash. It is clear that B'nai Noach are not explicitly commanded in this commandment of respecting your parents. Aval halon itzavu al berchas Hashem v'chvod v'kibud avaim hukdash kvodam l'chvod hamakom. So he says, even though they are not explicitly commanded in Kibud Avaim, they are of course commanded in Berchas Hashem, which was again on our list, that they are not allowed to curse Hashem. And the commandment to not curse Hashem is connected, that the concept of having gratitude and not cursing the one that you came from is the basis of Kibbutz Avaim. We are going to discuss this next week. And therefore, he says, sort of sideways, they are obligated in Kibbutz Avaim, but because they are obligated to show gratitude to Hashem, to not curse Hashem. Therefore, they would also be obligated to show gratitude to their parents, which is exemplified by the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avaim. So he says they're not directly commanded in Kibbutz Avaim, but they are commanded in the basis of what leads to the commandment of Kibbutz Avaim. So therefore, they sort of have a chilak in the mitzvah. So again, from this Malbim, we see that there is an understanding that Bnei Noach would not be obligated in directly the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avaim, but they are commanded in the ideas that contribute to the commandment itself. So let's try one more time. Maybe they will be obligated, because it just comes up so often. It would seem so strange that they are not obligated when we are taught, we saw just three examples of how specifically Bnei Noach are pointed out for their Kibbutz Avaim. So let's try one more time. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, Ger aser lekalel aviv ha'uvid kol chavim v'hilchat v'lehakuto v'lo yivazu shelo yomru banu mikdusha chamura lekdusha kala. There is a question asked that once someone converts, are they able to curse their parents from before they converted? And the answer is no, because that would be an embarrassment that someone's going to look at them and say, look how they acted before their conversion, and now look how they're acting after their conversion. They went from Kedusha Chamura, they went from a higher level of holiness to a lower level of holiness when they entered the Jewish people. So the answer given by the Shulchan Aruch is that it is usur for a ger to curse, even though we believe that the connections are cut off, like the technical familial connection between parents and child is cut off at conversion. He says it is still usur for a ger to curse his mother and father from pre-conversion. This would indicate that there was some sort of honor that they were doing before, correct? Because if we're saying that they are going from Kedusha Chamura, that they are going from a higher level of holiness, possibly to a lower level of holiness, it would seem like they were respecting their parents before. But our halachic hats here are saying, we read nothing about an obligation. We are just seeing that they did something. Someone doing something does not indicate that they had an obligation to do it. It just indicates that it happened. There are many things that we do throughout our day that we do that we don't have an obligation to do. So too, you can only pull out that from the Shulchan Aruch, that even if the ger did respect their parents when they were in the category of Bnei Noach, that does not mean that they were obligated. So one last try, and this is the closest that we get to saying that possibly a Bnei Noach is actually obligated based on the halachic sources, not based on what we wanted to say based on the Mefarshim, but rather what we've actually seen in the halachic sources, is if we go back to the Rambam that was the source for the Shulchan Aruch, that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting from the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim. However, the Rambam included more than the Shulchan Aruch chooses to quote. So the Rambam states, Hager aser lekalel aviv ha'akum ulehakuto. A ger is forbidden from cursing his father, who is a non-Jew, and from hitting him. V'lo yavazu k'dei shelo yomru ba'u mikdusha chamur lekedusha kala. So this was the quote from the Shulchan Aruch that the Shulchan Aruch pulled from here. Shaharei zeh mevazeh aviv, because this would be an embarrassment to his father. Ella noheg bo miktsas kavod. It says he should, though, act towards his father with a miktsas kavod, with a certain measure of kavod. Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes this lahalacha in Igros Moshe, that what is an obligation of a ger towards his non-Jewish parents? It is, and therefore, what can we imagine would be the, not imagine, what does he state is the obligation of a Bnei Noach in Kibbutz Avaim? Miktsas kavod, that they should respect their parents with a miktsas kavod, with a little bit of kavod. So that is the closest that we get to saying there is an actual obligation to respect your parents when you are in the category of Bnei Noach. So the answer to our halachic shaila is, based on all of the sources, pretty much, that Bnei Noach are not obligated in Kibbutz Avaim. But now I want to ask again, why did I even ask that question? That I could have asked you, and yes, we saw it in the Mefarshim, but really, what is the basis of this question? And the basis of this question, I believe, will bring us to an understanding of why we are beginning our halacha limud with Hilchos Kibbutz Avaim. The answer, I believe, can be found in a comment of the Bar Tanura on the first Mishnah in Perkei Avos. The first Mishnah in Perkei Avos states, Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. Moshe received Torah from Har Sinai. Umasra le Yehoshua. He gave it over to Yehoshua. Yehoshua le Zekanim. Yehoshua gave it over to the elders. Vizekanim la Nevi'im. The Zekanim gave it over to the prophets. V'Nevi'im masruha la Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. And the Nevi'im gave it over to the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Heim amru shlosha dvarim. They used to say three things. Heve mesunim badin. You should be straight in your judgment. V'ha'emidu talmidim harbei. You should raise up many Talmidim, you should establish many Talmidim, v'asu siaga Torah, and you should put a fence around the Torah. This Mishnah is known as the Shalshalas HaMesorah, the chain of the Mesorah, and it explains how the Torah went from Har Sinai down to how we have it today. The question is asked here by the Bar Tanura. Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. Omer ani, I say to myself, l'fi shemasachat zo enam yuseset al pirush mitzvah mitzvos haTorah kishar masachtot sheba Mishnah ella kula misurim v'midot. He said, you can ask the question, why is the Shalshalas HaMesorah specifically inserted here at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, which is the one like odd man out Masechta? This is not a Masechta that focuses on a specific mitzvah. Every other Masechta chooses a mitzvah or a number of mitzvot and explains them in depth. Pirkei Avos is completely different. Pirkei Avos is a collection of different ideas and different thoughts that were collected over time, different words of sage advice that are given over to us and how we should act in our everyday lives. So he says, this is a collection of musarim v'midos. These are ways to improve ourselves. These are nuggets of musar. V'chachmei umos ha'ulam gam kein chibru sfarim kimo shabadu milibab bidarchai ha'musar kitzad yintahik ha'adam im chaviro. So he says, there are other people in the world, there are umos ha'olam, among the nations of the earth, that have collected similar books of musar, of self-growth. We see today, every book is another self-help book. We can say, Pirkei Avos is just another one of those self-help books. So he says, lefichach, hitzchil ha'tana b'mesachat zo, Moshe kibel Torah mi-Sinai. Therefore, it is explicitly here, in the Mesachat of Pirkei Avos, the one that seems like all logical pieces of advice for us. Specifically here, we insert Moshe kibel Torah mi-Sinai. Lo mar lecha, shehamito v'hamusarim shebazu ha-masechta, lo badu otam chachmei ha-mishna milibam. So he says, these specific pieces of information that are found here in Pirkei Avos, these did not come from the hearts of whoever said them. Ella af elu namru ba-Sinai. So too, these are also included at Har Sinai. That although you may look at Pirkei Avos and you might say, these things are all logical. These are things that could have been developed by human beings. Specifically, the compiler of the Mishnah inserted here, Moshe kibel Torah mi-Sinai, that we should recognize that even these pieces of musar, these pieces of self-growth, were also commanded to us at Har Sinai. So what does this have to do with our question? Kibra va'im is one of those things that's logical, that we point out specifically in the beginning of time, at the beginning of earth, before there were any other mitzvos, that people were incredible at kibud avaim. And these are not necessarily the biggest tzaddikim in the world, but these are people that we point out, they were incredible at kibud avaim. And we can say to ourselves, kibud avaim is just one of those logical parts of life. Someone gave birth to you, they nourish you, they give you everything you need. The least you can do is respect them. However, the point that I wanted to bring out here is that although B'nai Noach engaged in Kibud Avaim, they were not commanded in Kibud Avaim. That the essence of halacha is that it transforms things that we do in our everyday lives into obligations. Not for the sake of it being a burden, not for something that is meant to be heavy upon us, but rather something that elevates our life. That B'nai Noach engage in Kibud Avaim, but we are obligated in Kibud Avaim. We have halachot that govern every aspect of how we interact, even in this most basic relationship in our lives. There is not a moment of our lives that we are not obligated in Kibud Avaim. From the moment we are born, we are engaging in this relationship. However, Hashem doesn't just say, it's logical, you know what you should do. Respect them. They give you everything. Say thank you. Be nice. Be respectful. Rather, Hashem gives us detailed halachot that we are going to delve into. And as Rabbi Leibowitz said, this is one of the most sensitive areas of halacha. because it touches on that most basic relationship that we have. So the message that I wanted to bring out from tonight's Limud is that B'nai Noach are not obligated in Hilchos Kibud Avaim, but we are. And as we enter into this Limud of Halacha, we should recognize that we're not entering into a grand area of Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Kashrus, things that are so clearly divinely ordained. Rather, we're beginning with something that seems so logical, that seems so natural, but yet we are going to delve into it in a way that hopefully is going to elevate our practice. And my hope is that through this Limud Halacha, starting in the most basic area of our lives, we are going to come not only to recognize and to gain knowledge and appreciation and understanding of what we do, but rather that we come to an appreciation of the primary gift that Hashem has given us, which is the structure and the construct of halacha itself.